Judy Williams and Mary Hartnett visited me in chambers. They had a proposal. People will write about you, like it or not. We suggest that you name as your official biographers authors you trust. The two of us volunteer for that assignment. Wendy and I were in the same line of business in the 1970s. We were engaged in moving the law in the direction of recognizing women's equal citizenship stature. Wendy was a founder of the San Francisco-based Equal Rights Advocates. I was on the opposite coast as co-founder of the American Civil Liberties Union's Women's Rights Project. We understood and aided each other's public education, legislative, and litigation efforts. Wendy and I remained in close touch when she joined the faculty of Georgetown University Law Center. Mary was an adjunct professor at the Law Center and director of the center's Women's Law and Public Policy Fellowship Program. Well-traveled, wise, and what the French call sympathique, Mary seemed to me a fit partner for Wendy in the biographical venture. Without hesitation, I said yes to their proposal. My own words would follow after publication of the biography we anticipated. But as my years on the court mounted, Wendy and Mary thought it best to defer final composition of the biography until my court years neared completion. So we flipped the projected publication order, releasing first my own words. Did you always want to be a judge, or more exorbitantly, a Supreme Court justice? School children visiting me at the court, as they do at least weekly, ask that question more than any other. It is a sign of huge progress made. To today's youth, judgeship as an aspiration for a girl is not at all outlandish. Contrast the ancient days, the fall of 1956, when I entered law school. Women were less than 3% of the legal profession in the United States, and only one woman had ever served on a federal appellate court. Today, about half the nation's law students and more than one-third of our federal judges are women, including three of the nine justices seated on the U.S. Supreme Court bench. Women hold more than 30% of U.S. law school deanships and serve as general counsel to 24% of Fortune 500 companies. In my long life, I have seen great changes. How fortunate I was to be alive and a lawyer when, for the first time in U.S. history, it became possible to urge successfully before legislatures and courts the equal citizenship stature of women and men as fundamental constitutional principle. Feminists, caring men among them, had urged just that for generations. Until the late 1960s, however, society was not prepared to heed their plea. What enabled me to take part in the effort to free our daughters and sons to achieve whatever their talents equipped them to accomplish with no artificial barriers blocking their way? First, a mother who, by her example, made reading a delight and counseled me constantly to be independent, able to fend for myself, whatever fortune might have in store for me. Second, teachers who influenced or encouraged me in my growing up years. At Cornell University, Professor of European Literature Vladimir Nabokov changed the way I read and the way I write. Words could paint pictures, I learned from him. Choosing the right word and the right word order, he illustrated, could make an enormous difference in conveying an image or an idea. From constitutional law professor Robert E. Cushman and American ideals professor Milton Konvitz, I learned of our nation's enduring values, how our Congress was straying from them in the Red Scare years of the 1950s,